Joining us right now is State Representative Katrina Shankland. You've got an event coming up Tuesday that is something that more people need to know about. Tell us a little more about it.
Sure. So we have a student loan debt crisis in this country. So I am hosting at UWSP tomorrow night at 6:30 an event to bring together students, parents, alumni, faculty, staff, and area legislators to talk about this issue and work on, first of all, just educating people about policy alternatives to mitigating student loan debt and also stimulating the economy. We do have some legislation we'll be talking about that was introduced this year by Democrats, and I think we'll also just be hearing from people and encouraging them, you know, regardless of party, regardless of experience, to come in and tell us about, maybe some people don't have student loan debt, tell us what works, what doesn't. People who do have student loan debt, what the impact of it is on, you know, their monthly bottom line. So it should be a great event and a wonderful debate.
I have not heard a lot about this, but the two people I did talk to were both grandparents concerned about their children and the ability to put their grandchildren through college because of the high debt, high cost of education, and the changes made in such things as the grant programs and some of the student loan qualifications. What are you hearing?
So what I'll say is, if you look at from the 60s on, the amount of public support, so how much the state sponsors, you know, and funds our public universities, has declined, especially within the past couple decades. So people who went to school, you know, decades ago were able to work 7 to 10 hours a week at minimum wage and be able to afford their tuition. That's because the state actually funded a greater percentage of our public universities and colleges than it does now. So tuition goes up. It's more and more unaffordable for a lot of students who, you know, wages are stagnant. So, you know, they have to work a larger number of hours. They can't just work 10 hours a week and be able to afford their tuition. So what I'm hearing from a lot of people, you know, I graduated 5 years ago, and I know the personal impact of student loans. What I'm hearing from people is it's very, very difficult upon graduation specifically to, you know, manage that debt and those debt payments. While also, you know, most people, when they graduate, their next goal is to, you know, get an apartment, hopefully buy a house soon, get a car. And what we're noticing, you know, economists have realized that not only are people investing less in, you know, new cars, new homes, but it also takes many more years. The average is, you know, offset by about 5 to 7 years because of student loan debt. So you're right that Pell Grants, you know, we've seen Congress kind of stem the tide of, you know, rising debt from 2008 on by, you know, managing those interest rates. But there's a lot more that can be done as well. And when Pell Grants are cut, when funding for our public universities are cut like it has been on the state, that only increases the cost to each person.
Tell me a little on this angle. If the state has frozen tuition for yet another 2 years, is that really going to help or hurt this situation?
So that's a really good question. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, freezing tuition is a great idea. And obviously, I support any initiative that will allow students to be able to access higher education, because what I there are a lot of people who unfortunately see the price tag of college and just can't even go, period. But impact to freezing tuition in the future UW system. And what we can see is, you know, when you freeze tuition, you have less money available at the moment, which might mean at UWSP, for example, there are bottlenecks in high-demand classes like chemistry and biology, the kind of courses you need to be able to go into the medical field. So that could actually have an impact on our future workforce, and not in a good way.
I've heard that some specific careers, such as being a pharmacist, for example, which takes more than just a straight four-year degree, or going into the medical field like being a doctor, and there's some of the other high-tech areas that need more than a four-year degree, I understand it's already starting to slow down enrollment in those programs because they just don't have the money.
Enrolling in. Yes, and so that's a good point. We actually had a bill called the Higher Ed Lower Debt Bill, and we had a public hearing in both the Senate and Assembly this past legislative session. And what we heard from doctors, lawyers, pharmacists who came in with this you know, personal testimony about how much debt they had to take out in order to get these advanced professional degrees. And I remember a state senator even asked, well, why did you even do this then if you didn't want the debt? And it's like, you know, no one can, who wants to be in the medical profession, for example, just pay that $100,000 up front. They do need to take out a loan in order to go to school and become a doctor. And I think we need to realize that, you know, number one, those rates, that interest rate should be low to help those people enter the workforce, because we're going to have a shortage of primary care physicians and nurses as baby boomers retire. So that's one thing. And then also we should just talk more about how our state should be investing in public education to make access affordable to everyone. So everyone who wants to be a doctor or a nurse or a physician or lawyer or attorney, they should all be able to go to school and have that access.
In the discussion that you've got set for Tuesday, are you looking for input from the community as far as what the problems are, or you have some solutions to talk about, or is it a combination of the two?
It's a combination. We do have the proposed legislation called the Higher Ed Lower Debt Bill. It would do two things. Number one, it would allow people with student loan debt to refinance through a state bonding authority. You know, you can refinance your mortgage, obviously, but you currently can't refinance student loans. This is an affordable way to reduce and mitigate, you know, the amount of interest you're paying per month. Number two, this bill would allow people with student loan debt to deduct their student loan payments up to, I think, $10,000 per year from their state income tax. So this is really innovative, very new idea. It's the first bill of its kind in the nation.
Just the concept sounds like this might be something that both the Democrats and the Republicans could latch on to. It sounds like it's something they might both like.
Well, I hope so. We did hear from people that there was interest in working together on reducing student loan debt, but unfortunately, Democrats actually brought this bill to the floor toward the end of the session. That was voted down on a party line vote, Republicans against, Democrats for. I'm hoping that through educating people, informing them about this legislation, hearing from them on the economic impact of their student loan debt and their inability to, you know, buy a new car or a used car or rent versus buy, I think we're going to see more traction on this issue as the rising student loan debt becomes even more of a problem.
Do you think the bill might get more traction in the next session simply because the state's finances are in better shape now than they were 2 and 4 years ago?
Well, we had a surplus, you know, $911 million, and we're talking about the many different ways we could have used that surplus, for example, by reinvesting in our public schools, including our four-year universities and two-year colleges and technical colleges, and that didn't happen. But I think as more and more people examine what the millennial generation specifically is doing and, you know, their lack of ability to purchase a new car or home, I think we're going to see more and more traction around the issue.
Is it possible that legislators still have a sour taste in their mouth from the UW surplus and are reluctant to go forward on anything right now and just a matter of educating them?
I think it depends on the person. You know, there are varying opinions on the UW system issue. What I heard listening to people from UW Stevens Point is that they actually had less money in reserves than most any other institution, comparing, you know, to the people in the Midwest, to the rest of the country. And so it was lower than what an average business actually recommends having in cash reserves.
So the session you're hosting on Tuesday, let's get the where and the when.
Okay, so it is 6:30 p.m. on campus, and it is CCC Room 101. And it will go until about 8 p.m. Senator Lassa will be there, Representative Ruink will be there, and I will be there. I'm Representative Shanklin.
Anything you'd like to add today?
Thanks so much for the opportunity. I think this is a really big issue for our community, and I'm excited to hear from people about their personal experiences and how they think we should move forward on this very important issue.